Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 206. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with co-host Guy. I've come swagging in the podcast studio today.
Slanted.
Like Conor bloody McGregor. I've walked in here this morning after, can only be described as possibly the biggest match. I want to go as far as saying the world took place on Friday, YouTube. Hopefully you've all seen it. So I'm feeling pretty good about life at the moment.
What about those select people listening or watching to the podcast who haven't seen your match yet about against Grant Horvat? Do you want to throw any spoilers in now, or is your attitude enough of a spoiler already?
I think I spoiled it before the video went out.
Correct.
the amount of talk, I mean, you know what? It's not the fact that the result went the way it went. And for those people who haven't seen it yet, I won't give it away, but...
Rick won!
It was the fact I did really play solid golf, like really, really solid. I put a couple of footsteps wrong, but overall, you know, at times I was three up in the match. Like I had my foot on his throat. Now, he did wiggle free and actually end up taking me down the last hole. But either way, I did think also, I think the relief, the fact that I let him back into it after 17 holes, after playing really solid golf. And I was coming down the 18th hole. It was all square. And I thought, I'm going to throw this away. And I really, really, really didn't want to lose it at that point. And the fact that I went on and held my nerve, hit two really solid shots into the green, two putted to win the match. It just felt, it was like relief. It was like, you could probably see it on the video. Like I was actually just genuinely relieved.
Yeah, I think I'm sure 99.9% of people listening to the podcast, watching the podcast, know who Grant is. If you don't know who Grant Horvat is, he was in Good, he's now on his own, killing it on YouTube. We spent a lot of time filming with him and he is a very, very good golfer.
Well, he was on the podcast.
Of course he was.
All but 4 weeks ago.
Of course he was. So most people will know him, I imagine. If you don't, that's who he is. And, you know, we've seen a lot of him play golf many a time. He's one of those golfers just really, really solid. So you knew to beat him in a match play. And although these games are fun, there's great camaraderie on and off camera, nobody wants to lose a game of golf. You certainly did not want to lose to him. And if you did lose, you wanted to be a tight loss.
Yeah.
Down 18, down 17. When we teased the video was coming, the overwhelming majority of people, and we must admit, probably rightly so, we're in the camp of Grant because your game hasn't been trending as good as it has been. And to beat Grant Horvat, you need to be firing at all cylinders.
Do you know what the catalyst for all of this hard work and dedication and genuinely in the last few weeks and months has been? Like, there's been a catalyst. And when I remind you, you'll know unless you do remember.
I don't.
Before Grant came over to the UK.
Oh, I do know this. Sorry.
And me and Grant and Guy, we were chatting and having messages between each other around about what videos we're going to do.
Yeah.
And it was natural. We were going to shoot a couple of scramble videos. We're going to have a couple of little fun games, this, that, and the other. And Grant proposed an idea. I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to bring it up, Guy. Do you think that's the right thing to do?
I think you should absolutely bring it up.
Because this message, this right here, is the main reason right now why I'm working as hard as I ever, ever, ever have done on my game. You know what? I'm going to thank him.
I'm going to put, this is going to be a clip on YouTube, a podcast clip, and it's going to be titled like Grant Hover angered Rick Shields. And I think he woke the beast.
He poked the bear.
The bear got absolutely poked.
And the bear didn't want to be poked. I can't find the message now. Anyway, we were back and forth with ideas. And Grant proposed an idea to me.
So this was going to be for his channel.
For his channel.
Yes.
He said, let's do a match, you against me. I was like, okay, great. Sounds perfect.
Yes.
Where I, Grant, tee off the bat tees.
Yeah.
The championship tees, the tiger tees.
So Grant, good play, he's off the bat tees, playing against Rick Shields. Rick goes off the same tees, I presume?
He proposed that I went off the front tees.
Wow. Wow.
And that flicked a switch.
What would we say in terms of distance, depending on the golf course? 1,500 yards difference, potentially?
He flicked the switch that he didn't want to flick.
Wow.
And you know what? That pushed me. And I'm glad it did, because I sat there. I was at home. I remember getting the text. And I sat there. And it took me a minute. I was like, has it gone that bad?
These kids these days.
Has my golf game gone so terribly bad that granted, very good player,
yep,
thinks that I need to play off the front tees to have a chance of beating him?
Wow.
So I didn't take lightly to the message.
No.
I actually responded with quite a lot of sarcasm and notable anger. And that video idea never got mentioned again, no. Rightly so. And so I was like, right, that's it. Me versus Grant. I'm going to have you 18 holes match play off the same bloody tees. And that's why I genuinely went into that match with like a different mindset.
And then the only other thing, what Grant didn't realize, dealing with Rick Shields, the worldwide golf YouTube superstar, we've got fans in places all over the world. So when he got to Manchester Airport with his golf clubs, we made sure those clubs did not arrive safely. He did not get his own golf clubs.
There was no chance I was going to lose that match. But yeah, it was it definitely frustrated me. It definitely sparked something in me to go, right, Rick. I looked hard at myself in the mirror that afternoon. I was like, you're better than this, Rick. So since that, I've been grinding. I don't think I've ever hit as many golf balls in my life as I have done over the last 6 weeks. Huge shout out to James Robinson, friend of the channel, who just before the Grant week, I went out and played 9 holes with him just to kind of, I hadn't played golf for a little while. I'd been in for a little minor op and I needed a bit of practice. And we went out for 9 holes and obviously James, an unbelievable golfer. And as we were at third or fourth hole, he said, I hit one out of bounds to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he went, can I give you some tips? I was like, of course you can. And I'm always open to tips from golf professionals. I have coaching in the past, either from Dan Whitaker or other people. And James went, you know, at the moment your takeaway is looking quite open. I was like, yeah, it is something I'm always fighting against. He said, what would happen if you did close it? I went, all right, just go straight left. And he went, right, well, hit it and see if you can do the opposite. Instead of going open to closed, can you go closed to open? And a couple of first tee shots weren't great, but then I kind of got going. I said, oh, going into this week with Grant, I don't know if I should make a swing change. I think this is quite risky. And he looked at me square in the face and he said, are you playing good golf at the moment? I said, no. He said, what does it matter then? I was like, fair dues.
Sometimes said, those simple statements hit the hardest.
It was the fact that Grant wanted me to tee off the ladies tee, or the front tee, should I say, to try and beat him. And he did actually also mention I should maybe play in ladies' attire. But apart from that, it was also James looked at me straight in the face and went, are you playing good golf at the moment? I said, no. He said, well, let's make some changes.
Good advice for everyone listening.
And since the Grant week, I did play really solid.
Yeah.
I hit the ball really well, as you did at the Belfry video.
Thank you.
But then going into that match with Grant at Dunham Forest, I was like, I'm taking you down. And since that, sorry, the golfer has been much, much better. The videos that are coming out this week, my golf is much better. I'm hitting the golf ball outrageously better. I don't think I've seen as much improvement in such a short period of time.
I think that's the thing. Everyone listening, watching knows golf is a hard sport. You're never, ever going to conquer golf. And we all know the reason it's so addictive is you probably play badly 8 out of 10 times. And there's 2 where you play well. That's why you come back. You obviously are a PGA golf professional. You turn pro off 3-4 handicap. And obviously you've been a golf coach and a YouTube creator. And contrary to what people obviously think, you don't play as much as people think and you don't practice certainly as much as you probably should do because of obviously family commitments and having a business, et cetera, et cetera. And we've always been honest with the videos. If you play a bad round of golf, we put that out there. People often quite like it because it makes them realize that everybody has a bad day. As long as you can keep a smile on your face, it makes for entertaining viewing. However, and there's the caveat, when it starts to go bad, where you start to kind of lose confidence and you don't enjoy the filming quite as much as you would do playing well, which comes naturally, obviously, it doesn't always make for the best videos. And like you said, if you've got people who you think genuinely should have a somewhat competitive match with, and this wasn't Grant being kind of cocky, but genuinely thinking there has to be some level of handicap system in there to make it a good match, I'm not surprised it got you going. And what was really exciting was not only the result, yeah, you won, that was brilliant, but like the comments on the video as well. And thanks so much to everyone that has watched the video and commented. But one here I'm just looking at, annoyingly, the person's name is a bit of like a random one. It's Mr. B. Oh, whatever, it's like numbers. But basically he said, and it's had 741 likes, his comment, best Rick has played in years, barely any mistakes over 18 holes, and that's the level you need to play to beat someone like Grant. Well played.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was solid, solid golf. And as much as it wasn't like I shot 6 or 7 under, which I do genuinely feel is in there somewhere. It has been in there in the past. It was the fact it was under pressure. I had to hit good shots and I did. One funny comment though, because I took a screenshot of it because I wanted to talk about it on the podcast. Dan Penn 1, however, totally disagrees.
Okay.
This had to be scripted.
Ah, God.
Grant's approach on the 18th was a farce and his chip was laughable. Even with that terrible approach, the chip was an easy up and down. So basically, he thinks that Grant was paid off. He threw the match.
Was that message from Dan Penis, did you say?
Dan Ben won.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah,
That could be a mark. Why don't we get into that scripting?
He took that backswing on the chip before he'd even hit the ball. I was already shaking my head. I guess we'll have to look forward to the rematch now. Yawny face. Yawny face.
You know what I don't get, right? I understand that everyone has got the right to either enjoy our content or anyone else's content or not enjoy it. That's fine. And you can either watch or not watch. And also, I would admit, I've done this myself. Everyone has little guilty pleasures of channels that actually on paper you don't like, but you can't stop watching. That's fair. Whether that be music as well or whatever. But to go to the extent of watching the match.
All the way to the 18th.
In its entirety, to leave a negative comment like that, you've got to be thinking some of these people are a bit...
How can that be scripted? It's like,
that would
it
be
was
good,
dramatic,
though.
Don't get me wrong, and it couldn't have gone any better. We can't script that.
But would he then say, if Grant had have beat you 5-4, he wouldn't then be saying, oh, it's scripted, was it? Yeah. So it's like, you can't have your cake and eat it. But anyway.
Look, 99.999% of the comments were very, very positive. Talking about, it was good to see me back in the seat, back in the driving seat and hitting the ball well. Changes are coming.
It was. And we've had a busy week. Lots to catch up on. But one of the things we put on the Facebook group today, as always, our amazing Facebook group, 100,000 members now, was asking for questions for today's podcast. And we've had many. And we're going to kind of use those as the skeleton of today's podcast and work through them. But the one that kind of felt fitting as talking about Grant and that kind of wider YouTube golf landscape was a question that came up a lot, a hell of a lot, in fact. So this question is from Reese Colling. It says, what's happened with this YouTube Master / YouTube Open? Not heard anything about it for ages. And we've seen that comment a lot, Rick. So could you give us a bit more insight and let the audience know what is happening with this YouTube Masters? I'm waiting for tonight. There'll be a Nate Edwardson video, inevitably, about this topic as well. So give us that content, Rick.
So the grand plan, again, going back to 2019, was the first ever YouTube Golf Day. The flag behind Guy there, where we had loads of creators from all around the globe, YouTube creators in the world of golf, coming to Formby Hall, and we ran the YouTube Golf Day. And the plan, each and every year after that, was to run a YouTube Golf Day. Mm-hmm. 2020, COVID hit. We could not run the YouTube Golf Day as originally planned. And there was conversations around maybe doing it 1 year in the UK, next year in the US, UK, US, etc. Obviously, I'm from the UK. A lot of my audience from the US. A lot of creators now are now in the US. So fast forward a few years, obviously COVID now has passed. And genuinely, a goal for this year was to create a new YouTube golf event. Mm. YouTube Major, YouTube Masters, YouTube Open, whatever it's going to be called. And inevitably, I wanted to have the biggest creators in the world of golf to be at said event. Now, this year, because of logistical reasons, I wanted it to be in the UK. So we started to talk to golf courses who could have the capacity to holding, not sure of a tour event type event.
Well, realistically now, let's be honest, if we had it in the UK, and let's just put a pin in the middle of the UK, around the Belfry area, middle of UK, which is easy to get to, great infrastructure, how many people would come, do you reckon?
That's what I mean. So we wanted to have a ticketed event where people would pay for tickets to come and watch live. We wanted the biggest creators from around the world in golf, so a lot of the guys from the US, a lot of the guys from the UK, all in one area, one site. And the biggest hurdle, and I didn't realize this at the time, and it's something we didn't do for the YouTube Golf Day back in 2019, probably for the same reasons. We wanted to live stream it on YouTube. And this is really important. That was so important because we understand if we had a ticketed event, we'd like to think we were aiming for a couple of tens of thousands of fans turning up, maybe 20,000 fans turning up to the ticket event. However, with the fact we wanted to, that's only a, when you think about 20,000 people in the grand scheme of even just my channel, for argument's sake, 2.7 million, it's a very small amount of people that can actually attend live. So we desperately, desperately wanted to put it on live on YouTube. This is where the hiccups that I possibly overlooked started to kick in place. If you were to live stream a darts match,
mm-hmm.
just for argument's sake,
yep.
how easy is that?
You five or six cameras.
If that,
yeah.
two cameras you could live stream. You could live stream a darts match, a professional darts match with two to three cameras. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty easy. It's stationary. You don't have to move. The cameras are fixed. Off you go, live, you're running. With a golf event, the same challenges that the PGA Tour encounter, the EP World Tour, Live encounter, is you've got to cover a huge area, 18 holes of golf. We're really going to need two to three cameras on every single hole.
Yeah,
that's like 54, just for argument's sake, cameras and cameramen and crew with all that cabling, all that wiring to get it back, whatever it may be. I just didn't potentially factor that in. So once we started to look at the possibilities of that once we started to look at the costings of that, we also started to reach out to creators. So Good, Bob Does Sports, a few other guys to say, listen, we have got this idea in the pipeline. We want to do it in the UK in autumn time. The original plan would have happened by now. Mm. Are you involved? We'd love to get you in it. And then either schedules were clashing or whatever it may be. And obviously I still didn't have the definitive bang. This is where it's happening. This is what's happening. I've got the live stream sorted, et cetera, et cetera. So it had to go on hold. It had to be put back on the to-do list until we got to a solution. Now we talked to YouTube themselves loads. YouTube, I've got a great partner manager, and we talked to him loads about how can we actually do this. They've come back with some incredible ideas, whether it's funded from sponsors, sponsors, etc. So at the moment, it is still going to happen. It's not going to happen this year. It's going to happen in 2024. We're looking to tie it in with potentially a tour venue already,
mm-hmm.
and maybe piggyback off the tour venue itself. So I don't want to use any names just in case.
The week after a tour event,
correct.
A venue.
Let's say it's not going to happen. Let's say
Augusta is the best example.
Augusta and the Masters, right? All the camera there, all the infrastructure's there. The couple of days straight after Augusta National, for argument's sake, straight after the Masters, bang, we've got the YouTube Golf Masters.
That could be a thing in 5 years. Who knows?
I mean,
if Augusta are listening,
which they do, Augusta, let's sort this out. All right, you know it makes sense. So. That currently is the plan. In that time period, I've also had lots of conversations with Good around about how we could potentially create a joint event. That's all I'll say at the moment because I don't want to speak on their behalf, but the conversations that I've been having is how can myself and Good have a joint event where it might be we hire the same venue for a week argument's sake, I have a couple of days for the YouTube major. They have a couple of days for their own tournament, but it's the costings are split between the two channels.
Yeah.
That's what's currently happening. I'd love to give you a definitive date. It is now starting to look more likely to happen in the US in 2024. But believe me, if you're from the UK, Europe, etc., looking to bring it back to the UK in 2025.
I wonder if we then put in work, we've not even discussed this yet. When I make the podcast, I might have to cut it out. If we could have a massive giveaway for like two fans from the UK to come. So like we could actually put that people up potentially.
Definitely.
So, you know, even if you are a massive fan and you can't make it, we can get a couple of people out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, this is why I'm so desperate to live stream it.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to miss out. I know we did the live podcast recently. We didn't record it, but that was kind of more of an intimate, like more like a show.
Yeah.
This event, certainly my idea of a YouTube major, is to have the biggest names creators at one venue, fill it with fan spectators, have a really cool festival style event where there's good entertainment on, there's places where you can go and buy your favorite creators merch, there's places where you can go and meet your favorite creators, we have a big barbecue and a bit of a I was going to say a disco, a bit of a concert after, you know, taking the best bits of what current, this jacket's quite, I'm going to take this jacket off.
It's getting serious now.
It was getting a bit crumply. For me, it's like taking the best of what traditional golf does, whether that's a stroke play event, similar to what PGA Tour does, but sprinkling a bit of like the concert and the fun element of what Liv has brought to the party. Just kind of having an event which I would argue might be the most watched golf event in the world on YouTube live streamed. I think it's got a chance.
Yeah.
So it's there. It's not quite there. It costs a bloody lot of money. So if you'd like to donate, if you'd like to chip in and because I mean, when I talk about a lot of money, like to live stream one day at a golf course, I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That was a good whistle, actually, for me. You do it. That's better, but.
So it's not yeah. Money you find down the back of the sofa.
No, I think as well, what another kind of small, not hurdle, but something you'd have to think about, which we are doing as well, is what does it look like? Because obviously you want to know who's the best golfer on YouTube, maybe excluding Bryson, because he's obviously a tour pro, but like who's the best golfer? Who would win in that? You know, 18 holes.
It could be handicapped.
Well, it could be handicapped, or
like Bryson can start off like he can be
seven. He can be seven over.
For argument's sake,
what would you start then? You and Grant.
Apparently, I'm playing off the bloody front tees. Aren't I?
By next year, think how good you could be.
That's what I mean.
Or will you have quit practicing?
No.
I've
got really got hungry for it at the moment. At the moment.
Wow.
Because you know, people listening to the podcast know that I stick to things religiously.
Of course you do.
Like any fad that I've ever been into.
Yeah.
I really, really stick to.
You go to every Man United home game.
I still play badminton three times a week.
Five aside, you're actually starting back. Well, that's carried on for the last 6 years.
Darts, I'm semi-pro darts now.
Yeah.
So running, marathons.
Have you still quit drinking?
I have.
Yeah, well, that's a good one.
I've not drank since the live podcast.
Wow.
I don't plan to till at least Christmas is the plan.
That's a good.
I need to.
That's realistic detox. Though. If it's still Christmas, that's because I think sometimes, and we all do this, but you in particular, and I do, I'll be honest, but probably bite off more than you can chew.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm never going to drink ever again, but it's just like
a little chill.
Need a bit of a detox and a.
Yeah, Christmas is a good target. Or maybe say mid December because there's going to be inevitably Christmas dues and stuff.
You know what's mad? And you only kind of realize this when you've maybe stopped doing something. At the moment, like I say, I've only been, God, less than 10 days not drinking, maybe about 10 days. How much temptation there actually is and how many adverts and just general life. Like there's a lot of alcohol kind of presented to people.
Oh, that's why I was watching a video about this the other day. I think it popped up on my feed and then just randomly watching it about this, that like most other, you know, drugs or addictions aren't really like celebrated in any other way, that people really push it on you. Whereas drinking like is so many, it's almost weird. And I've told this story before. I remember once actually at a DP World Tour event, Abu Dhabi, and I was with a player's caddy who I won't name and a few other people, didn't know this guy at all. And he went to the bar to do a round and I literally wanted a bottle of water. I was having a spell of just not drinking because I get really bad hangovers. It doesn't make me feel very good. thankfully not, don't have an issue with alcohol, but just wasn't drinking, asked him to get me a bottle of water. And he pulled a face and made a joke. And oh, I'm not going to the bar getting a bloody bottle of water. And this guy didn't have any idea about who I was, my history, my back, you know, he nothing. And you do get pressured into drinking a lot. And it is one of those things that it is hard to break away from if you want to break away from it. But
for me, it's just like I say, it's just that break away from it rather than a full breakaway. But like, it's only people's pressure, which I've not experienced, to be honest, loads in that 8 days, 9 days, whatever it's been. But like advertisements on TV, or like you're flicking through social media and like...
That's because you follow Carling and Coors Light.
I think my phone at the moment knows that I'm trying to eat healthy and I'm not drinking, because all I get served is bloody alcohol adverts and amazing food adverts.
Well, that brings me very nicely on to my next point. Last week, we named a burger establishment that we shall not be naming again, who we are very big fans of, who we wanted to get a sponsorship from. This is tongue in cheek, by the way, I must add. And a lot of people went on to...
Cheek and tongue.
Sorry, he's back. A lot of people went on to this establishment's Instagram post saying, sponsor Rick and Guy, sponsor the podcast, and they didn't engage with it whatsoever. So that burger place are having no more of our free publicity.
Okay.
Can
we still order food from there?
Yes,
though?
We can indeed. Right, okay. And also, one thing that was I don't mind it when people dislike me or dislike the podcast or our takes, that's fine. But one thing that annoys me is people who genuinely can't understand humour. Because if you remember, I think last week I said that the next live podcast we do, I don't want a beer for anybody, but I'd like the £5 instead. Somebody commented on the podcast or somewhere saying that all I do is ask, being serious, I ask for money, that I want a sponsorship off a burger restaurant and I want people to give me money rather than alcohol.
Well, do you still carry that jingling pot around?
Yes, but that's beside the point. He doesn't know that. He does not know that.
And Guy, he's got...
I wear Rick's secondhand shoes. Not bad.
The three sizes too big for him, but he still wears them.
They call me the clown man.
He has a bucket down there that rattles. Yeah, it's funny.
Okay, well, that was the last thing that I actually just want to jump onto. This is a question, again, I've had in the group. And just kind of why I'm on this YouTube thing of Ian Rolfe. When is Rick playing Jimmy Bullard? So for those of you who don't know, we would explain Jimmy Bullard as a former professional footballer.
TV presenter,
now turned kind of golf YouTuber with Tubes and Ann. She's joined their channel 6 months ago or so, has become a real asset to them. He's a great golfer, very funny guy, and a good golfer.
Very good golfer,
scratch golfer.
He tried to go open qualifying for a few times. He actually played in a number of Europro events. He got invites to quite a few Europro events. Very good golfer. He's taken down some big names already. I think I'm feeling more comfortable now because the game is trending in the correct way. I think a few months ago he would have absolutely wiped the floor with me. I think now, I think I could take on anyone. Right now, the way my game is trending, I could take on anybody in the world. The 10 shot challenge videos that we did with pros, gone.
Well, no, you start just gonna, 10 over par now. Or they can start 10 under.
I'm going to just play them straight up.
Oh, wow.
From maybe not. Maybe not. Let's try and win one first.
No, but I've been in talks with Tubes about this. I'm going to set up a phone call with him, hopefully this week, about you versus
Jimmy. I'm going to ring him now.
I'm going to ring him right now. I think it'll be a good match. I think if you can get this confidence back, which you are doing, this renewed passion for practicing, the world's your oyster.
Oh, I want to rematch against every body that's come on the channel and beat me, or have I been on their channel that I want a rematch against all of them?
Call Peter Finch out now.
Now. I was looking at the wrong camera. Now. It's game time.
Anyone who wants it. I'll give it to you.
Anybody that wants it.
Yeah, wow. I want you to play well, but it'd be funny if you big all this up and then you place one and get beat 10-8.
No, it doesn't happen anymore.
Beat 10-8.
No, I'm a different man. The golfer that played Grant is now dead to me.
Oh, wow.
Even that guy, I was bigging him up.
Wow.
He's a flash in the pan compared to the golfer I am now.
So this new golfer, this new Rick Shields, how would people who get beat by you describe you when they say, God, I got beat by Rick today, 10-8?
Slade.
Yeah, but how would they explain, are you gritty? Are you just a bomber? Relentless. Are you just relentless? I like that.
Relentless and impossible to play.
Picture the scene. I'm playing you in this new guy. I hit the green in two. I've got an 8 foot for birdie. Okay. You at your second shot in a bunker plugged against the lip. I'm thinking, won the hole. Next thing, you hit it out and you hole it from the bunker. I just missed the putt. I'm one down already.
Yeah.
That's how the day goes.
It doesn't end as well.
Wow.
I'm letting you off lightly there. Wow. Put it in the bunker on purpose.
5 minutes. No, I'm joking.
I don't find bunkers anymore.
It's all fun and games. Speaking of fun and games, though, Rick, this week was the Live Golf Team Championship. And
the big one.
The big one. And yeah, I, as we spoke briefly about on before we started the podcast, I made some...
you got some hot water.
I got a little bit of hot water this week, which I wanted to cover because I think I use social media, and I'm sure you know this, as a bit of a gauge to see what people's reactions are and to poke the burrs a little bit and to see what nibbles I can get. Let's be honest. And as we've said, this week was the Live Golf Team Championships final, which Bryson went on to win with the Crushers. And I did a tweet on Saturday evening that was very provocative. And I said, sorry, but I think Live Golf is trash.
Was there any siders involved?
Nope. This was straight up. This was watching Live Golf and being a little bit silly. And what I often do, I'll be honest, is I do something on Twitter and then I close my phone and honestly, I forget. I kind of genuinely forget I've done it. Not forget, but don't think about it. I looked back at my phone as I got in bed and it was going hot, right? And I thought, wow, should I delete this because it's getting a bit crazy? I thought, you know what, I'll leave it because it gives us content for the podcast and we can talk about it. But what I didn't expect though was to wake up and have a Live player actually question me and want to know more. So I said, I put, I'm sorry, but Live Golf is trash. And
what, give us a bit of context to your reasoning behind that.
So, okay. When Live Golf first launched, I was quite excited for the prospect of a new tour, a new something, okay? And personally, and people can have opinions on.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
This or that. I wasn't too interested or anything about where the money was coming from and all that. I'll be honest, I'm not intelligent enough to understand all the politics of Saudi Arabia and all things they've done or not done. And selfishly, as a golf fan, I'll be honest, I didn't really care. Maybe that's a bad thing to say openly, but I didn't. I want to find this new product. And same as if as a football fan, you know, if Saudi Arabia plow money into Newcastle United and you're a Newcastle fan, I think most fans probably accept that and think, well, let's buy the best players, let's become a formidable force, which it looks like they are doing now. So I was all kind of for it. And I love this idea of this kind of team element and, you know, almost having, whether it be team TaylorMade or team Nike or whatever, I don't know. And obviously started to sign players from the get-go that were impressive and obviously more players have come. And I loved all this rumour mill of who was going to join Live and it gave me something exciting. And I was quite open to the 54 holes. Again, that doesn't offend me. I don't care if a competition's over 18 or 72. If anything, I think the shorter the better. I was somewhat excited for the shotgun start, more consumable. It was on YouTube, which is a platform obviously I love and live on. So it was a lot that was going well, you know, it pro kind of potential Live. Then obviously the team names, and that's a silly thing to say, but I think the team names in a lot of circumstances are a bit silly. You know, I just do. And but I can overlook that. But where I've come up to the conclusion, and again, this is my opinion, other people are allowed to love Live. And that's something I want to push on this as well. I've got no issue if people love LIV because that's great. It's more people watching golf and potentially starting golf. So if you're watching this and you love LIV, that's okay. But for me, and trash is a strong word, I know I was using that word quite provocatively, but the reason I'm going to come on to it, I know I'm long-winded way of getting to that point. Every time I've turned it on, I find myself within minutes just lost, bored, just not engrossed by it at all. And I was trying to explain this to my wife the day. I was telling her about it and I was like, the shotgun start as a fan going to the event, this is something I must add, I've been to two live events, is brilliant. Watching at home, there's almost too much action. And that might sound like I'm going against a point, I'm saying it's boring, but I actually find this hit. I just almost can't take on what I'm watching. I just can't get behind it.
It does sometimes feel a little bit more like a montage.
Correct.
When play is taking place, it feels a little bit like a montage of clips. Until 4 hours later when golfers are coming round to their 18th hole and you're starting to understand, all right, this is what the leaderboard's starting to look like.
Yeah, and then a few people as well tweeted me saying, yeah, but last week you were saying that LIV should get world ranking points. Still stand by that. Taylor Gooch has won 3 times this year. He's obviously come out of the individual winner of LIV this year. He's not the 180-odd best player in the world or whatever. He's better than that. So LIV Golf should be awarded. And just because I don't necessarily enjoy watching it doesn't mean that these guys don't deserve the plaudits for winning events and stuff like that. I've just found a few things as well a little bit like gimmicky, like the whole ring for winning. I know that's something that's done in other American sports, but like Greg Norman got down on one knee to give Taylor Gooch the ring. And it's just not for me. But again, that doesn't mean that other people can't enjoy it. So, you know, it's not a product that I enjoy right now. I will continue to kind of watch it. I'm always excited. You know, I'm the first person. If there's a rumor tomorrow that Scotty Scheffler's going to LIV.
Well, this will be where the rumors start now.
Correct.
Season's ended. Yep. This is where people will start to talk now.
And I'm all for that. I love the rumor mill, so I'm not against that. But then obviously Lee Westwood tweeted me, which was quite surreal, asking why is that? Now, to be fair, I kept quite a simple point as to LIV Golf is trash. So he asked why. And my response to Lee, which I didn't quite articulate as much as I have in this, because it's obviously Twitter, but honestly, I feel it's so difficult to get entertained. It just feels meaningless. I put the team championship on last night and within minutes I was bored and it just feels irrelevant who wins. That's just my opinion, though, and I'm sure for players, it's amazing. Just one thing to add on to that as well, because a few people end up being silly in the comments, as you always do. I've got massive respect for Lee Westwood for a number of reasons. Firstly, and obviously, he's a better golfer than I would ever dream to be. He's got more talent in his little toe than I will ever possess. You know, the things he's done for golf are incredible. We've spent a full day with him filming before we joined LIV, and he was an incredible guy. I got on really well with him. He gave us so much time. He stayed after us for a drink, and I found him very kind of down to earth. Mm. And the final point, and it might be a bit of a silly one to say, but I know his son's a golfer now. Is it Sam, his son's name? And I've heard on the grapevine, he's a nice guy, nice lad. And, you know, from it sounds a bit deep, this, but from becoming a parent myself quite recently, I've started to look at things a bit differently now. And if somebody's raised a good child, it often means, you know, they're a good parent and a good person. So kudos to him for that. You know, I've heard, again, his lad, he's a really nice lad and obviously a good golfer as well. So it's nothing to do with Lee Westwood. And I was quite happy that he weighed in and you know, he obviously, and rightly so, enjoys being on LIV and wants to kind of defend it and give his opinion on it, which is great. And I think more golfers should use the social media for that. They've got a platform, we'll use it. But that was just my take on it. And maybe it's a bit hot-headed and a bit rash and a bit clickbaity and a bit, you know, social media centric. But as a golfer, I'm just not a fan of it. And I'm not going to name the account. I don't want to give him any more limelight. But there's a golf account that's quite big with Twitter. It's quite big on Twitter with LIV. And they did a tweet after the event yesterday saying something along the lines of, I'm sorry, but LIV is awesome. If you don't like this, you don't like golf, at Guy Charnock. And I thought, that's a bit pathetic. I've played golf since I was 8 years old, like 25 years now. I've worked in golf for all of my working life. And obviously, I love what I do. I'm very fortunate. You can't tell me, because I don't like the product that you like, I don't something like golf. I would never dream of telling someone that loves LIV, who doesn't like PGA Tour, or doesn't like golf YouTube, or whatever it might be, that you don't like golf because of that. It's entirely up to us what we like and what we don't like. And that is my rant over.
Very good. I'm glad you had more than, 140 characters to explain
it. But I mean, I don't want to get, you know, but you've not, and this is, you'll admit this, not watched a ton of it. That's fine. You don't watch loads of PGA Tour, neither do I. But it's just not quite there for me yet. Maybe it will be one day.
Yeah. I only spotted the clips that was on social media over the weekend of, obviously, we saw Team Crushers win.
Mm-hmm.
Bryson DeChambeau, his team won the overall championship. I'll be honest, I don't really know what the tournament was. Was it like a match play tournament? They were playing almost like round robin.
I think
like
it
knockout.
Was match play, and then it, I think it did then go to stroke play.
So, you know, I didn't particularly know the format. I suppose that's it's only its second year round, so I might not know the format just yet. The one thing I'm finding challenging, and even when I see people wearing certain apparel from the brands, from the teams, is how are people picking teams?
Mm.
Like, I almost understand why the Aussies would straight away go for like Cameron Smith's team, the Rippers. That kind of makes the most sense to me. My probably favorite team at the moment is Majestics, mm-hmm. because I know the guys pretty well, Westwood, Poulter, Sam Horsfield, and I've met Henrik Stenson, albeit briefly. And their class is almost the UK team as such, because it's a lot. But I'm not fully connected to the team. It's not like it's really gripping me and dragging me in. Where going back to your point, at the start of the chat then, one of the ideas originally was to have these teams as almost team TaylorMade, team Nike, team Lylan Scott, you know, that would maybe give you a little bit of a reason to support said team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd, to some degree, I wouldn't actually mind it if the teams were from countries.
Yeah.
So if there was a team UK,
mm-hmm.
that's your team.
Yeah.
It's almost chosen for you.
Yeah.
You know, and going back to the Ryder Cup, one of the things I loved about the Ryder Cup was the camaraderie, the fact that I am Team Europe. Like, I am supporting a team, and I've had to decide this team.
Yeah.
It's decided for me. A bit like when you support England, when we obviously played Italy last week. Like, you watch him because it's not a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm English. I'm supporting England. Again, Manchester United. I was born in Manchester. My family brought me up as a United fan. It's been done for me. With this, I'm finding it somewhat challenging that the connection between the fan and the team, there's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is, and I can't put my finger on, and I don't think the names are the best. But I think if it was teams that were actually, if there was a Team USA, I think that would do well better. You could actually have multiple Team USAs. You mm-hmm. could have Team USA 1, Team USA 2. You don't have to have just one team. But I feel like it would help you make that connection with the players. And like, when Crushers won yesterday, what's my feelings? When I see that champagne pin popped yesterday on the 18th green, as I saw on social media, I was trying to almost capture my feelings at that point. And there's a couple of feelings I get straight away. I would class us as somewhat pally with Bryson DeChambeau.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that straight away and go, brilliant. Bryson's won.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Like, I'm happy for him. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that he's won. Not really, but I'm happy he's won.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? They get another $3.5 million. Brilliant. What does it actually mean to them? Like, genuinely now, what does $3.5 million actually mean to them? Like that, and I'm sure all these guys would say, well, another 3.5 million sets up my kids' lives. I get that. But it's like, that's the bit that I'm kind of missing a little bit from. And I think social media social media hasn't done Liv any service, because every account that you follow that's not a Liv actual account. Sorry, the podcast just cut out for a second there. Matt just told us off camera. So I'm not quite sure what I was up to, but if like, I'm not even sure when, like, if it's another $3.5 million dollars to Bryson DeChambeau, like, I don't even know what it means to those guys anymore, because, you know, it's not like me winning a fiver against a mate of mine. Like, I can't quite almost understand the value of it all, because I think social media, when it's not Liv-centric accounts, all the social media platforms, whether it's golf magazines, whether it's other publications, the big story they're always talking about, and I've touched on this from the very, very, very beginning of Liv, is all they want to talk about is the money.
Yep.
And for me, that's where it just loses that little bit of connection. I'm not again, I've been to a live event. I enjoyed it. I don't think it was perfect, but it wasn't bad.
It's better as a fan on site than a fan viewing.
It's 100%. The second year of it running. Do we have to give it time? What can change? You know, are we going to see a new wave of PGA Tour players moving to live this winter time? Because there seems to be a lot of talk, and whether it's just hot air or not, like Greg Norman coming out and saying he's constantly being messaged by big name PGA Tour players to join live. Well, let's see actually what happens. Going back, I do think the PGA Tour, I feel sorry for the DP World Tour, European Tour. I feel like that's really kind of vanished a little bit. I do feel like the PGA Tour has become a better product for it. I'm not sure yet. For me at the moment, I've had positive thoughts, negative thoughts. I am still sat on the fence with splinters in my ass because I'm still not sure which way the fence I'm going to land on. I just can't look past it. It's only been 2 years.
Yeah, I think you're right. I just think a couple of your points there, and bizarrely, if I'm going to kind of almost play devil's advocate to a sense and sit on the side of Liv just for these, when you say about Bryson winning, you're right, the money probably means irrelevant, nothing to him. But when you are that level of competitor, or anyone who's a golfer really, if I put you for a fiver now and you win, you don't care about the fiver. You don't care if I don't even give you the fiver, but you've beat me. I'd like to think, and I'm sure it is, that the case of Bryson and Crushers, who won this week the team championship, the money is secondary. They, as you know, professional, elite, competitive golfers know they've beaten every other person in the field and they've won. I think that is what I'd like to think is what motivates them. And then on the team element as well, you're right. I personally as well, like what you've said, I've really found it hard to choose a team. I think Liv's answer or pro Liv people's answer would be, well, you pick your favourite golfer and you go with their team or whatever it might be, or the colours that you like. And I know obviously Liv Golf on the website had a thing you could pick a team. You know, you put in all your details and it gives you a team. But there's other things that confuse me, and people may comment below and make me look silly how simple it is. But like most teams have it, well, all the teams have a team captain, but the Majestics have three. Mm. So they've got Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood and Henrik Stenson. So there's three out of the four players are captains. I don't quite know what that means. How can 75% of a team be a captain? I don't know. But like you said, you are right. And it's a very, you know, wise take to say, well, let's leave it a bit longer, and we should do it. Has only been two seasons, but then on the same breath, it's been two seasons with an infinite amount of money and some of the best players in the world, and I'm still not enjoying it. Will that change in 3 years or 4 years? It might do. And then last thing on the teams thing, again, you're right, it's hard to pick a team, but if you've got somebody now who is loving Liv and they are a hardcore Range Goats fan and they've got a two-year-old son or daughter, that son or daughter may well grow up like,
well, that's
you.
What I mean. It might be time.
Yeah, exactly. It might be time. And I'm open to that. And I think that's where I always think about it meaningless. That, like, you know, to me, a PGA Tour win or a Masters win or a major win, whatever, means so much. A Ryder Cup win. For me personally, the Crushers winning at the weekend, though I'm happy for Bryson, doesn't mean a lot. In 10 years, it might be the absolute biggest thing on the planet. I think
the challenge is a lot of these startup organisations, let's say the first ever Ryder Cup, wasn't a big golf event.
No.
It's a tiny, tiny little golf event that, you know, Samuel Ryder's idea to bring, you know, the Europeans and the UK together, sorry, USA and UK together originally is what it was. Let's have a match. Let's, you know, play for the Ryder Cup.
Although you're right, do you not think though, but the very definition of what it was is what you're playing for. So you're representing UK.
Quite possibly.
And even like if you think about football back in the day, I'm sure, again, people with more knowledge might correct us, but Liverpool Football Club would have been blokes from Liverpool playing against blokes from Manchester or whatever. Yeah. And you're playing for that. Whereas these made up teams just feel too made up so early on. But sorry, yeah, well, just interrupt.
But that's what, like, you know, all of the, you know, the big sporting events that we think of right now. And you're right, the Olympics, you're playing to represent your country. Yep. And that's what goes back to my point of this. I almost feel like there needs to be a deeper rooted reason to support a team. Mm. And at the moment, I've not got that deep connection with any team. I think when I actually did the team picker online, it actually had me as a Range Goat fan.
Nice.
I think they're my least favourite team.
Sorry, my chair is quite noisy if you can hear it.
Like, genuinely, I feel like they're the team that I have the least amount of connection with, genuinely. Yet the online pick had me as a bloody Range Goat fan.
As always, we'd love to hear people's opinions. If you want to do it on this video, comment down below or emails in. The only thing we ask is keep it respectful. If you're very much on one side of the fence with the other, doesn't mean the other people are wrong. You know, if you love Liv, that's brilliant. You don't have to destroy me for not liking Liv. And if you hate Liv, you don't have to destroy other people who love Liv. We're all allowed our opinions, but it's great to hear people's thoughts as well. And who knows, we might be sat here in 5 years and I might have eaten my hat, Rick. I might be wearing a Range Goat hat.
I mean, the Ryder Cup changed your mind this year.
It did.
I mean, that's only, how many years has that become? So let's give it another 70 years.
Having said all this, if Bryson wants me to be a Crushers like mascot, I reckon I could do that. Just to go to all the events, just wear Crushers merch, just mince around. I could do a good job of that.
No. Goes back to your point before about the money.
Oh yeah, I could be bought. I could definitely be bought.
Right. Interesting take.
Okay, so a couple more bits before we... have our lunch, Rick, because we've not eaten yet and you're getting hungry. This is a question that I had to put on your radar. It's one I've seen a little bit and I'm very obviously bringing this point to the table now, today. It's from Jaden Duploy, I think his name is. His question is simple, Rick. Rick Shields merch, where is it at?
Jaden, did you say?
Jaden.
That question could never be more timely. Now, long time listeners, fans of the channel will know that I have said many, 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 many times before that merch is on the horizon.
86 times it's been.
I lied all those other times.
That's why his nose got
a
so
straight
long.
Face lied to you. No, I didn't, to be honest. We have had, I mean, there's literally merch behind us.
Mm.
We have had merch in the pipeline for a long time, but we've never... either one, dedicating enough time to it to make it what we think merch should be.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't want to just throw out crap. We didn't want to use a company where the product was crap. We expect you guys who listen, watch, etc., to value the products that we put out, whether it's a video, a podcast, whatever it may be. We pride ourselves in making it the best product we can possibly release. And we're doing that the same with merch. Now, that doesn't mean for 1 second the price is going to reflect that. We're going to keep the price to a price point that is going to cater for everybody.
Mm.
So merch, you hear it here first, right now here on the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, will be available to buy.
Go on.
And be delivered to your door pre-Christmas.
The only thing, Rick, that could make this even better for me would be if you said to me, which I don't think you will, that was anything to do with like the clubhouse merch. Just hear me out.
Well.
Oh no, don't.
There is nothing on the merch side is limited.
Right.
Bar.
Go on.
We have got a limited drop of a few select products, which is clubhouse only limited edition. Merch.
Wow.
So this, genuinely, we've put a lot of effort into this. We've had lots of input designs. It's going to be a really good range of merchandise, which you as fans will want to cherish, represent, show off. Also, great products for friends and family who are fans of the channel. So if you want to buy your son, your friend, your dad merchandise, it will come ready pre-Christmas.
I've got a theory to this. So say if you play golf, you love this podcast or like this podcast, and you're in the car with your partner, your parents, whoever it might be, someone that would buy you a gift, and you're thinking, right, well, they would have listened to Rick Shields' golf show because they don't like golf themselves, but they're going to buy me a Christmas gift. Get in the car with them. Just put the podcast on now. Rick, there's some great gifts coming to rickshields.com, isn't there, for people who love golf, that person in your family who deserves a great Christmas present or even a birthday present. What's the website again and what can you sell on there for golf fans?
There sure is, Guy. Thank you for asking me the question. Yes, you can visit rickshields.com, our brand new state-of-the-art website, which has only just had a soft launch at the moment. So jump over there and check it out, rickshields.com. Link in the top line of the description. And you can find out very soon. Not available yet. You'll find a tab on there, which is merchandise, which is not open yet. The Rich Hill shop. As soon as that store is open, you will know about it here on the Rich Hill's Golf Show podcast pre-Christmas 2023.
Hopefully that was a good subtle hint to people listening to buy their friends, family, Rich Hill's merch. Because all I want for Christmas.
All anybody wants for Christmas, let's be honest.
I'm going to get two head covers, but use them as oven gloves.
Nice.
That's what I'm going to... towel.
They're good for feet warmers as well. Yes.
Towel as a bath towel.
Why not?
And I might get a put head cover.
Why don't you get four of them?
Yep.
And if you've got a dog, which I know you don't, but if a friend has got a dog,
yeah,
you
can got use a friend.
You can use them as little boots.
I could get two for my daughter, little boots for her. She needs shoes soon.
And then I think she'd, you know what? I think she'd really like, and I think she'd get a lot of use out of, a lot of playtime, a ball marker.
Oh, yeah. Could swallow it.
It's too big.
That's big true.
One.
Yeah.
Got the casino chip ones.
Yeah.
So she could play. I mean, the games that she could play with that ball marker.
Could roll it, throw it.
Flip it.
Spin
it.
Yep. Oh, wow. I think I want one now. You can sell sand, you could, Rick. Wow. Yeah, I mean. So it's rickshields.com.
Coming very soon.
Very, very soon.
But do check out the website anyway, because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Last couple of questions then before we wrap this up. A nice one from Darren Fitzsimmons. He said, when asked for questions, waste of time, you never get asked them. So I'm stopping watching. So that's from Darren. Thanks, Darren. I just commented for it, so I'll read that one out for you. And Declan Murphy, we kind of alluded to this at the start, Rick, but he said, how did you celebrate with your victory over Grant? Did you have a curry?
What do I do? You know what I've got really into recently?
Yoga.
Thai food.
Ooh, nice.
Well, not so recently because now I'm eating healthy, but like a chicken pad Thai.
Yeah. Nice.
Spring rolls.
Yeah, like
sweet chili. Prawn crackers, sweet chili sauce, chicken pad Thai. Mm. And I also got twice now, I've been to said establishment three times, but the first two times I ordered, and I should have ordered the third time, spicy chips.
Oh, yeah.
But like peppers and
last two questions.
But just a quick one on Darren's point.
Yep.
How many questions have we had even just this week?
Oh, loads. Hundreds, thankfully.
So, unfortunately, Darren, I'm really sorry. We don't get a chance to read them all.
One thing we like doing, and this is really helpful if you can, people listening, you don't have to, obviously. If you see a question, you think that's a really good question, just like it. And then if there's a question that's got like 10, 12, 15 likes, it shows people care about that question. This is a good question. It's only short and snappy from James Lawrence. Scotty Cameron, or even roll, and why? Well, you've got one in the bag, which is an even roll. You've had it in for donkey's years. But I feel like if I was going to gift you a nice putter for your 40th birthday, thanks, you'd appreciate a Scotty Cameron
much
more. I
really appreciate it. Thank you.
If anyone from Titleist are listening.
I think both style of putters, obviously, Scotty Cameron, it goes without saying, they've won God knows how many major championships around the world. Like, you know, as a pedigree product, it is absolutely top of the list. I think maybe I just view Scotty Cameron a bit like a Rolex.
Yes.
Or like a piece of jewellery. Like, yeah, of course it can tell the time better than most things. But like, it's a very expensive way of telling the time. Like a Scotty Cameron, to be honest, even rolls aren't cheap. But like a Scotty Cameron, I always feel like it's a really expensive way to put.
And I always think as well, if you keep it in good condition, they really don't devalue much over time.
I don't get me wrong. I've got some. I've got a collection, but like, got so many of them. But
nearly been in it. We actually had it was last week where I had quite sore arms because we spent, was it about 3 hours emptying out your Scotty Cameron collection, just binning a load of them. 4,000 he had gone.
The thing is with my little kind of very small but select amount of Scotty Cameron putters is each one of them is a putter I'd never use. Yeah. Like they are actually genuinely pieces of jewellery. Yeah, almost like when I show people, I'm like, have a look at this and they're like, oh my God. I'm like, I'll never use it, but like, look how good it is.
But the only downside to Scotty Cameron's is, now I could easily do this, but I think you could almost get into a habit of I want that one. I want that one, and literally collecting them. And that's not a bad habit to have, I suppose, but they're just so, they are like, that jewellery is the best way.
They're Moorish.
They are more, yeah, they are. And then last question from Jack Leonard, what's your favourite thing about winter golf and your least favourite thing about winter golf?
I don't know if I have a favourite thing. There's actually two things I love about winter golf. Mm-hmm. Okay. Preferred lies.
Oh yeah.
I really like preferred lies.
But then
lies.
It's hard going back to normal lies in the
really,
summer.
Really hard. So preferred lies I love. And genuinely, I love the fact you can play like target golf.
Just stops.
Just like just whip anything in, it just like plugs. I quite like that. Yeah. And the greens aren't like stupidly fast. Yeah, those type of things. I hate with a passion. It's not so much winter golf, but it's autumn golf leaves.
Yeah.
I hate leaves. And then moving into winter golf, I hate mats.
Yes. Yeah.
I hate mats.
Yeah.
Teeing off from on, and I don't mind them on par threes.
Our mats. We hate mats.
I hate all mats. If you're listening from the US or anywhere that's warm, you won't even understand the challenge that UK has.
No.
Like, we have to go out there and play sometimes on winter greens, which is a hole cut in the fairway, like 30 yards short of the green.
Mm.
Awful. You've got to play off mats. You've got to carry this little slither of mat around with you, and it's bloody awful. Then also, a lot of the teeing grounds need to get protected. So they put a big like range mat on the teeing ground.
God.
And sometimes you cannot put your tee
this
in.
This is first world problems to the max. I agree with them. You know, the only thing, and this, I don't really play golf in the winter now, what I actually used to like about winter golf, and it sounds a bit silly, was finishing and going to the clubhouse. And it was just like a nice, you get warm again. And you're like, if you played okay as well, it was even better. You've like shot an all right score. It's like, yeah, I've played golf today. I've done a bit of exercise. I've enjoyed myself. And I was debating maybe not playing, but I decided I definitely would play, and I'm glad I did. And I'm now having chips and gravy or chips, beans or whatever it might be.
There's nothing else that beats like a day that should on paper be freezing cold.
Mm.
Like yesterday, I don't know if it was warm where you were It was a beautiful, beautiful autumn day yesterday. And I always like it when you leave the house and you're like, you've wrapped up and you've put a coat on and you get out and you go, oh, but yeah, it's warmer than I thought. Jackets off and you're like, God, it's like bloody summer.
Mm.
Indian bloody summer here. But like, that can happen sometimes at a golf. Like, you'll be planning to play on a Saturday, Sunday with your pals, and you think, God, I'm gonna need 5 layers, I'm gonna need hand warmers, a bobble hat, and all this. And you get there and you go, it's actually better than I thought.
You know what I used to love though? It was ridiculous, but like when I was maybe a junior or just a bit older, going to the golf club to play at a tee time, and then one of the four dropping out, oh, it's too cold, can't bother today. And you'd finish, it was freezing, it was horrendous weather. We'd text your mate as if they should have played. It was actually not bad, you know, it was fine. Once you got past the first few, it stopped raining, it was fine, yeah. And it was like, oh, it was the worst day of my life. But I can't let that person know it was the worst day of my life.
No, and then there's nothing worse than when it's actually freezing cold and your hands are freezing, you thin it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Winter. That's why I'm jumping on a few planes this winter and trying to get out of it, because I think filming in the winter is, sends shivers down my spine.
Best advice for anyone who doesn't like playing golf in the winter is just on the 4 hours you would spend going to the golf club and playing in the round, maybe the half an hour either side, that's called it 5 hours. Sit in a dark room with your phone and just watch Rick Shields videos on repeat over and over and over and over again. That's the best advice
I think. So.
Or buy merch,
or genuinely use those 5 hours a week to actually practice.
Oh,
on the game.
There he is, Mr. Practicer.
So maybe, you know, put a bit of grind session in.
God, changed.
The other day,
I missed the old Rick.
I'm not joking to you, guy. Oh, they've gone now.
You know what, Rick Shields, I'm a fan of? The one who eats a burger, doesn't practice golf, gets beat 10-8 by Grant Horvath. Not this new one that's all like eating healthy and being all right at golf.
I had proper hard calluses the other day. I was dead proud of myself. Oh, wow. They're gone now.
Imagine the guys and the girls in the car now, been on the building site all day, grafting in the cold. 6 in the morning till 6 at night, put tea on the table.
And that's about it, too many balls we've got. You know what it was?
In your heated simulator.
Well, that got aircon as well? It gets too hot. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I feel like you got... Yeah, there was a counselling session there. You got a bit off your chest.
Yeah, I'm banned from Twitter for 7 days, so I'll see you on Twitter in 8 days' time, and I'll be slagging off somebody else,
sure. You've got a few months now. There's no live for a while.
Oh, no. Who can I go after?
Peter Finch,
yeah. Start the beef again.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. Thanks for listening. See you all soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.